Please be seated. Usually when we're preparing sermons, preachers like to focus in. You know, we get three lessons every week to look at, and we like to focus in on one of them, maybe a few sentences of it, a paragraph. But today, my text is a sentence fragment. Not even a whole sentence, just a fragment of it. Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, and I think as this sermon unfolds, you'll understand that better. As the World Series began, I started to come out of my baseball hibernation, brief though it was, and I quit paying attention to baseball when my team finished in the cellar. But then I noticed that the teams who did advance to the World Series were not the usual suspects. The Cleveland Indians hadn't won since 1948. The Chicago Cubs last won the World Series in 1908. Now that's something, right? That's worth watching. And so I got interested. Diana, up there, my youngest, didn't know any of that backstory. Diana preferred the Cubs for one very simple reason. They have a cute mascot, a bear cub. Now, she noticed this months ago during the regular season when we were watching baseball, and she loves that bear cub. And honestly, it's adorable, right? You've seen it. At first, I thought, that's pretty silly, liking a team because the mascot is cute. That makes no sense whatsoever. But is there really a logical, thoughtful reason to like or love a sports team? And I'm thinking now that really, cute mascots as logical as any other reason to like a sports team. Mascots are the symbol, the emblem of the team, the way that we identify them. Fans wear the team cap or jersey emblazoned with the mascot or symbol to associate themselves with the team. And some of us feel really strongly about our team. There are all kinds of bitter, tense rivalries in sports with only feelings, and irrational feelings at that, underpinning them. If you're a Red Sox fan, who do you hate? Say it. Who do you hate? If you're a Yankees fan, who do you hate? All right, there we go. We all know these things. Countries and religions have similar kinds of emotional things going on. Our nation has the bald eagle as a national mascot or symbol, but also the stars and stripes is our emblem. Canada has the maple leaf flag, Great Britain, the Union Jack. When you see those things, they evoke feelings in the citizens of those nations and also in the adversaries of those nations. If you showed a swastika, the symbol of Nazi Germany, to someone who had fought in World War II for the Allies, they would have a very strong emotional reaction, right? I saw a white power symbol inscribed inside the locker that I was using at the gym. The symbol of the Nazi SS was inscribed on the inside of the locker, and it made me feel angry. I went to the front desk where there was a young man working there, and he didn't even know what the SS was. He had no reaction whatsoever. He was completely ignorant of that period of history. Religions don't have mascots in quite the same way as sports teams, but a lot of people wear crosses just as a good luck charm. They don't even have faith. They just have kind of associations with the cross. Muslims have the crescent moon as the symbol of their religion. Jews, the Star of David. All those symbols are the source of feelings and emotions for those who look upon them, but not always thoughts or understanding. When you're in a stadium cheering for your team, or in a church with dozens or even hundreds of fellow Christians, or at a parade with flags flying and banners waving, the mascot, the team, the worship service, even the sight of these national emblems may very well prompt strong feelings, but what else do they do? Many years ago, I heard one of my favorite preachers give a sermon where he posed a question to the congregation, and it was this: is Jesus your Lord, or is he your mascot? Are we God's fans or God's servants? In other words, are we Christians because we like belonging somewhere, feeling like we're close to the winning team? Or does Jesus have authority in our lives to influence and even command our behavior, our way of looking at the world, for that matter? And the same is true of our relationship to the nation we live in. If we think that being moved by the sight of our flag is what being an American is all about, we're missing something important, aren't we? There are principles, teachings, things that are essential to citizenship and faith, both, that go far beyond feeling good about Jesus or about America. To be an American is to understand ourselves as governed by truths that guarantee us rights that no one can take away because they are essential to our humanity. I may hate what you say, be suspicious of what you do, think that your religion or lack of faith is silly, but I understand that the rights we enshrine in law are as much a part of you, a part of all of us, as the limbs of our bodies. Is Jesus Christ our Lord or our mascot? Well, just as being an American is far more profound than the emblems that identify us, so is being a Christian. And sometimes these identities come into conflict. That happens in every place, in every time, because while as citizens our freedoms are limited by the laws that protect us, as Christians, it's a very different situation. If you're a Christian, you understand the truth of human existence, which is that every human being is subject to God. That is, that we owe God perfect obedience. All people are created equal, but no person is equal to God in holiness or in authority. No government is equal to God in justice. No emblem, mascot, or feeling, however powerful it might seem, should separate us from understanding that Jesus is not somebody who makes us feel good, but our Lord, our teacher, our master. When Jesus speaks, what comes from his mouth are not simply beautiful words that make us feel good. His words are reality. His words are law. His words are true, no matter how we feel when he says that the poor, the hungry, the sorrowful, the hated and reviled among us are to be blessed and lifted up by God and by every faithful person. To be a Christian is to understand, think, and act according to those teachings, that law, that reality that Jesus tells us about. Because Jesus isn't our mascot. He isn't a symbol. He isn't there to make us feel better. He's there to help us to understand the truth of our existence and to free us from the lies we've been taught and live with every day. To have faith is to know and live under the lordship of Jesus Christ and to be the instrument under his guiding hand by which others come to know his love and lordship. Human communities are limited by the character of the people who compose them. Does that make sense to you? A human community is limited by the character of the people that compose it. If a person's life is all about money, power, greed, selfishness, getting ahead, that person isn't doing anything to make the community better and actually limits the potential of the community. Now, right now, I'm guessing that all of us are uneasy about the character of the people who are supposed to be serving and protecting us through government. And maybe we're feeling a tad uneasy about the folks next door, too. And on some level, that has a lot to do with the fact that even though most people don't go to church or understand Jesus as their Lord, they still expect certain things in the culture, in the government, in the society at large. They still expect certain things that only God can actually command from us. Now, I believe in the separation of church and state. I don't want the government telling me what to preach, and I'm not one of those preachers who thinks that everybody in the government should believe the same things that I do. But I also believe more and more every day that even atheists prefer it when their neighbors live like actual Christians. Not just that their neighbors say they're Christian, but that they live as Christians. Because practicing loving Christians do make their communities better. Strong churches, loving churches, improve towns. A nation like ours depends upon having a strong core of citizens who are good, not because they fear the law, but because they know themselves to be loved and led by God above all else. Laws can't teach us compassion, friends. They can't teach us mercy. Jesus can. The Constitution may protect our freedoms, but it doesn't command us to love our neighbors and even our enemies. Jesus does. Every nation depends upon laws for public order and God for happiness and strength. We grow up hearing that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are our unalienable rights. But without God, we don't really know what those things are. Without God, we can't help those around us to know either. My text this week is a sentence fragment. Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, because everything that comes after Jesus said, wherever it occurs, however it makes us feel, should make us stand up and take notice. To listen and digest whatever comes after those words is to live a different life than those who surround us. And I want you to hear this and know this to be true. If you listen to those words, if you try your best, not your third, seventh, or 12th best, but your actual best to change your life and follow Jesus as your Lord, you will change this town. Maybe only a little, if it's just you, but hundreds of us? You will change this nation. Maybe only the tiniest fraction, if it's just you, but tens of millions of us. We call those who follow Jesus saints, even the ones who don't always do it too well, because saint means holy one. And that's what we're trying to be, for God's sake, but also for the sake of the world that Jesus loves and gave his own life to save. Even the powerful can't withstand Jesus and the saints, all of us, working according to his purpose, because he is their Lord too, and not just a name, a mascot that they trot out to make us all feel better when we vote. Jesus Christ is our Lord, and Jesus said, and Jesus said. Well, all that we heard today, and last week, and what we will hear for years to come. The world doesn't depend upon the great for happiness and freedom. The great depend upon people like us knowing and loving God and our neighbors. The great, apart from God, are as broken and sinful as any of us, maybe more. If you want a great nation, it won't be because you followed one politician or another. Be a saint. Be a saint. Follow Jesus and help others to do so too. Do it no matter who reviles you and curses your name, no matter how powerful they are, no matter what it costs. Be a saint. And eventually, the great may even follow us.